Blog Talk Radio.
They saw him. They heard his words. They saw his miracles.
1 Peter 1:15. He which is holy, is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Another way.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world.
He was talking about faith. And when he started talking about faith, he reminded him of everything.
Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God.
Faith is not based on where you are right now.
It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
You don't see it, though. You might be hurting. You might have had a hard life. People may have...
Well, don't go over there and say,
you can't do that. And they may have dogged you out and talked about you and left you.
You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is.
Because of the faith that you have in God. You know that he's going to bring you up and bring you out.
You've got to obey the word of God.
Even though you don't have a dime in your pocket, even though people talk about you, but you know that your hand is in God's
hand. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another place building to get into. You can't say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Now, we're standing in this room. We're breathing. We have life. But we can't see the air. Sometimes we can feel the breeze on us. But we can't see the air. We know that the air is a combination of atoms and protons and neutrons and all that. We know that, but how do we know that that's not the very Spirit of God that's keeping us alive, but we can't see it? We can't grab the air, but we know that it's keeping us alive. That's a good analogy of faith. Faith works, but there's a condition. Now, the kind of faith that I'm talking about is godly faith, because there is another kind of faith that has nothing to do with God. It's the faith that man has, and the faith that man has is always based on what we see, what we touch, what we feel, what's happening around us. That's man's faith. But God's faith is always based on what you can't see. Now, God will give you some evidence, and I'm going to read down through this, some evidence of what you can't see. He he'll give you some evidence. He'll tell you, well, I'm going to bless you with such and such. But it's not now. But I'm going to give you a little something right here that you can see, that you can touch, and that you can feel, that's going to cause you to believe on what I'm going to give you up the road.
Yeah.
How faith works. Uh-huh. Faith is not blind. But let me go into this scripture a little more. It says, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God, what the word of God is saying, everything we see was formed from something not seen. It was formed by something not seen. So nothing was there. And all of a sudden, it was there. Because God spoke that into existence. God saw nothing. There was nothing there. God spoke it, and it was there. Hallelujah. So that's our faith first. So God is the originator. God in Christ is the originator and the foundation of faith, period. So if we are the children of God, then we operate the same way. And if we don't operate that way, then we're going to fall into traps of the enemy. Because the enemy works through flesh. He works through carnality. He works through things that you see and touch and circumstances. That's what the enemy works through. God doesn't work through any of that. He works by his spirit and by his word. So what his word says, that's what you have faith in. We can't go by the way we feel. We can't go by what we see. We can't go by what somebody says. We have to go by the word of the living God. Because the word of the living God is the only thing that is truly, truly, truly real. Regardless of what people say. Glory. Regardless of what people think. Regardless of what happens on the television or on the news, the word of God is true and is faithful and is true and is faithful and is true regardless of what happens in the world. Let me read a few more things. Now it says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Abel offered an excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. They believed regardless of what's happening around them. Now, I imagine that Abel and Cain, they knew what they were supposed to do. But Abel believed God to the point that he obeyed God and gave God what he wanted or what he desired, but he had faith in God to do that. Enoch, the scripture tells us that he walked and talked with God. God had a running conversation with Enoch. But Enoch, see, here's the thing. With God, he really kind of, although he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's everywhere, he can do anything, but he won't go against your will. He won't go against your choice. So Abel and Enoch had to make a choice that they, Abel made a choice that he was going to offer that sacrifice. Enoch made a choice that he was going to walk and talk with God. God saw that as faith. When you stand for God, when you stand on the word of God, when you are obedient to God, when you go according to the word and the will of God, that's faith. How is it faith? Why is it faith? Because you haven't seen him, but you believe in him. Of course, there's evidence of God because he does things in your life. He does things in your life, and you know that it's the Lord. Some people might call it circumstances. Some people might call it coincidence. Some people might call it luck. No, it's God. It is God. It is God. Ha. Yeah, it's God. And if you don't accept the Lord, and you mess around, and you close your eyes for the last time, and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to find out that it was God that did for you when you were alive. It's a little bit too late then. So now, in this life, is the time that we have to exercise our faith. Now, what I'm talking about is the things that happened because of people's faith. And it was a healing faith. It's a faith that delivers. It sets you free. It's not empty. It causes results. It causes things to happen because God is real. I don't care what anybody says. God is real. Glory to God. We serve a living God. We serve a powerful God. We serve a God that will never forsake us. He will never leave us. Nobody, nothing can pluck us out of his hand when we are holding on to his hand. Not anybody, not the devil, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is all by faith. Like the scripture says, it is impossible to please God without faith. For we first must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Huh. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know that we're living in some bad times. Every time you look around, there's horrible stuff going on. There's stuff going on these days that's worse than a horror movie. Yeah. It's worse than a horror movie. But that has no effect on how God is going to deliver you. That has no effect on how God loves you. That has no effect on what God will do for you. It doesn't. It doesn't. Because God is such a God that trouble can be happening all around you, but it's not touching you. It's not touching you. You can have peace in your heart in the midst of any storm. You can have peace in your heart in the midst of any storm when you are in God, when you are in Christ Jesus. Glory. Let me read some more to you here about the Lord, about faith. It says, I just said that. I'll go ahead on and read it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, if you know this here, every one of these people that God spoke about their faith, when God came to them and said something to them, they didn't say, oh, I think I'm hearing something. I think that's just my mind. Somebody just said something. Oh, that's just a coincidence. Oh, I'm just hearing things. I think I'm losing my mind. They didn't say that. They believed that, and they made their choice. Their will was aligned with God's will. And as a result of their will being aligned with God's will, because of the choice that they made toward God, great things happened.
Yeah.
Now, if Noah would have said, oh, I had a bad dream, so I ain't going to build an ark, history would have been totally different. He was obedient.
Yeah.
But he could have said, no, we have the choice.
Uh-huh.
But when you have faith in God, guess what? You won't say no. You'll say yes. Even though you don't know what's getting ready to happen, you'll still say, yes, Lord. Now, when Noah built this ark, it never rained. And the people didn't know what rain was. But God told Noah, you know, Noah, it's going to rain. Rain, what is that? I had never seen rain before. What is that? He said, okay, God, I'll build an ark. I don't know what this is that you're talking about, but I'm going to build it because you said it. He built it, it rained. Noah was saved. He had faith. He believed. Faith and believing, it goes together. If you say you have faith in something, if you say you believe in something, then you're going to react. You're going to move. You're going to step. There's going to be action to that. If you don't believe it well, you say, well, you'll forget it. You'll forget it. Glory to God. Let me read on. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. Now, that's hard for us to do now. Get in your car and just start driving. Where are you going? Where are you going, Larry? Well, I don't know. I'm just driving. Where are you going? I don't know. I'm just walking. Well, what you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing something. But God told me to do. I'm gonna know the outcome of what he told me to do when I step out in this healing faith that he told me, that he gave me. I'm gonna step out in this, and then I'm gonna tell you later what God did.
Yeah.
But you're gonna see what God did.
That's right.
But right now, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know. But I know that he told me to do it. And I'm going to do it. Now, when God manifests this thing, when God blessed this thing, and you standing over there looking at how blessed I am and looking at how God has raised me up, then I'm going to go back to tell you, you know, when I was walking and I didn't know where I was going, well, this is where God said I was going. So if you want to come and follow me as I follow Christ, then you can receive some of the same blessing that I received. But there's going to be some times in your life when you're going to have to exercise your faith. When you're going to have to receive God's healing faith. And when I say healing faith, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's holy, body, soul, and spirit. Now, sometimes you go through hard trials. Sometimes you go through tribulation. We read through the scripture. When I read down some more, we're going to see that people went through some things. But they still had faith in God. They still held on. Why? Because they knew, they believed deep down in their hearts. And they saw evidence of a true and living God. And that increased their faith, that matured them in their spirit. And they began to believe for crazy stuff. You ever heard of somebody with a rod, with a stick, going to a vast sea, putting it in the water, and it spread open? And they walked across on dry land in the deepest part of the Red Sea. Moses and millions of people went through the Red Sea on dry land. It wasn't mud. It was dry land, water on both sides. They could see the whales and the fish are swimming all in the water on both sides. And they went straight through that. Somebody exercised their faith. And as a result, they weren't destroyed. See, in this way, when you exercise your faith in God, the enemy cannot destroy you. Why? Because God protects you. God is the one with all the power. God is the one with all the answers. But you got to believe in him, and you have to have faith in him, and you have to walk in that faith by his word. When you do that, you will have success. You will have answers to your problems. I don't care what other people say. You will have success. You won't stay down. You can't stay down because God won't let you stay down. He won't let you stay down because you show an example for him. You are his child. And his children don't go around. They don't stay down. I'll say it like this. Even when a child of God go through persecution, even when children of God, even if they might even have to lose their life, even if they have to lose their life for the Lord, they still win. They still win because then they obtain eternal life. And not only do they obtain eternal life, there's other somebodies that watch them as they go through and they say, what did this man or what did this woman have to cause them to stand and be so strong and go through that and not give up on everything? Because some people will sell out at the drop of a quarter. They'll sell out at a moment's notice. It doesn't have to be too much. They'll sell out. But God's people don't sell out like that, and other people see that, and it's a testimony to their life, and it's a testimony to the faith that they had in God in Christ. That's why we're here now, because somebody had the faith to stand in the face of lions. They had the faith to stand through all kind of persecution. They had the faith to stand in God even though they were living in caves, even though they were ostracized, even though they were talked about, even though they were whipped, they still had faith in God. And a healing faith and a delivering faith. Ha, glory. God honored all of that. And he's honoring it still. Ha, let me read some more here. It says, so by faith, sojourn in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child, and she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, springs are even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So you see, they believed to the point. God told Abraham, I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the heavens, as the sand of the sea. But he didn't even have no kids. And he was real old. And his wife was real old, past childbearing age. But by faith they believed what God said, and he had the one son. And God told him, look, now I want you to take this This one son that you got, the son of promise, we had two, but he had this one son of promise. He said, I want you to take that one up, the one that I said was going to cause your seed to multiply, and take him up here on Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Wait a minute, Lord, you said that I was going to have a whole bunch of kids. Yeah, you said that I was going to have seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. And you're telling me to do this. See, faith don't operate like that. It don't operate in your carnal thinking. It don't operate with common sense. Because God can tell you to do some stuff that makes absolutely no common sense, but it makes a whole lot of sense to him. And after you do it, you'll see why. You'll see why he told you to do it, because he's going to manifest it in such a way that you could never do it. You would never do it that way. God has you doing things that you would not normally do. But when you believe in God and you have faith in him, you will do some things that seems crazy to a lot of people. But when God is telling you something and you do it and you see the results of his word, then you don't care about what it looks like to other people. You don't even care about thinking about what was just told to you. You just move in it. You see, that's how that works. I'm going to read a few more things, and then I'm going to close it out. But it says, okay. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of him, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which also he received him up in a figure. So by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months in the tent with his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Faith in God many times will cause yourself, might put you in adverse situations. But in those situations, God will be glorified and you will be blessed. Because faith is not, as we see, is not based on things seen, but it's based on things not seen. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 minutes. We think we know. I think I might, after this is over, I might go out to the car and get in and drive home. That's what I would like. But something could happen. But God knows all of that. And why am I saying that? Because we have to live in the faith toward God in every aspect of our life because we don't know the future. We think we know, but we don't know, but God does know. And since God knows, then we can keep our hand in his hand, and then we don't have to worry about it. But when that healing faith is moving in our life, when we're operating in faith, then we don't have to worry about very much of anything. Because God, we know that God is on our side. We know that he's keeping us. We know all these things. But it's still conditional. What is that condition? That condition is the choice you make. That condition is the will in your heart. That condition is to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you get that mind? You get that mind through faith in God, by the reading of his word, and by allowing the Lord to move in you the way he desires. Because what the Lord does and what faith involves and includes is to make you more and more like Christ. And if we become more and more like Christ, that means we mature more and more, and that means our faith increases more and more, and that means we can be more effective in the kingdom of God. We can be more effective on this earth when we operate in faith, because the scripture tells us that the things that we're dealing with are spiritual. They're spiritual. And I'm just going to read a few more things to you. Yeah. And then I said I was going to cut it off, but I'm going to say a few more things, and I want to talk about Ephesians 6 and 10. And what it's saying is, 6 and 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, God is always admonishing us to be strong in him, not in us, but to be strong in him. We don't have faith in ourselves. We have faith in him. And when we do that, we put on the whole armor of God. And this is what it says. It says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are wild strategies, thought patterns, plans of the devil? The only way we're going to know his plan is by God. Because the devil is not going to tell you his plan. No, he ain't going to tell you his plan. But God can, and God does, and God will. But when God tells you his plan, then what you do, you go and get to put your fighting clothes on, get your sword, get your shield, put your arm on. You put that on. I want to say that. You put that on. God ain't going to put it on you. You have to put it on. Okay. He said, put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole arm of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with what? Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Because the shield of faith will block everything that the devil is throwing at you. And it also will give you time to rest. What they used to do in ancient Roman times, the Romans had a large shield that was, that shield was about 4 or 5 feet tall. It was kind of concave, and they could get, place that shield in the ground, get behind it, and whatever's coming at them, it's not going to hit them. Now, they might be tired, so when they got this shield down, they get it. They stop. Then they jump out, and they start with sword. So when we operate the shield of faith, we're gaining strength in God. Why? To fight the enemy. But when we have that faith, God is moving. He's moving on our behalf. He's sending angels on our behalf. He's strengthening our spirit. He's planting the word of God in us deeper and deeper so that when the enemy comes again, that word will pop up. And you can pop him with it, and he's got to go. The enemy cannot stand the word of God in truth and effectiveness. What the enemy does with the word is perverts it to try to mess you up. Because he don't want the truth of it now. He wants to twist it. But when you pop him with the truth, he ain't going to be around too much longer. is going to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you see, it's nothing we can do in God without faith. Even our accepting the Lord Jesus Christ is faith, straight up, all the way around. You can't get around it. And it's the God kind of faith, because you're believing and you're receiving something that you can't see. You can't grab it with your natural hands. You can't chew it like you can chew a steak or a potato. You can't drink it like you can drink a bottle of water. But you have the evidence of it in your life. So we're talking about healing faith. We're talking about a faith that delivers in every situation. The only thing you have to do is believe. Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. But in order to believe, you gotta have faith. But that's basically the crust of my message.
Be sure to give on that.
Yeah. It's just see. People, I know many people have heard sermons and people talk about faith, people talk about faith, and a lot of people that's talking about faith is tore up by the devil. They're tore up by Satan. So that just means they're not exercising their faith. But at that, I'm saying trust in God, exercise faith, and God will heal you. Now, we're getting ready to close up. I'd like to say that we are meeting with the Deliverance Temple of Faith. And we're at Conference Room Motel 6, 114 River Point Parkway, Canton, Georgia. We also have a Blog Talk radio program that you can reach us at 7:30 p.m. every Saturday. Praise God. We're going to close out the program. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you bless everyone that listened to the program. We come against every foul spirit that would try to hinder. We bind up spirits of depression, oppression. We come against spirits of infirmity. We bind them up and we cast them out right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Satan, take your hands off God's people right now. In Jesus' name, loose them and set them free. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.